Blog Talk Radio.
I'm psychic medium Drew Calley, and I'm here with evidential medium and spiritual intuitive Kim Griffin. We welcome you to our new show, Speaking Spirit. It will air every Thursday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and is dedicated to all things spiritual. However, we wish to place an emphasis on evidential mediumship. Mediumship is the art of communicating with your loved ones in spirit and providing you with evidence, information, and messages to provide you with peace, healing, and hope. A medium is a person who connects those in this world with those who have moved on to the next. Kim and I will discuss various topics related to mediumship for the first portion of the show, and we will be taking calls for live on-air mediumship readings in the latter portion. If you wish to connect with a loved one in spirit, please log on to the chat room and provide your first name along with your area code. The call-in number is 929-477-2551. Again, it's 929-477-2551. This, again, is specifically for mediumship readings or spirit communication. Kim Griffin can be found at www.kimgriffinmedium.com and at facebook.com/Kim Griffin Evidential Medium. I can be found at www.drewcalley.com. Calley is C-A-L-I. And I can also be found at facebook.com/psychicmediumDrewCalley. Kim, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Drew. How are you?
I'm good. I guess being my first time taking care of the phones, I think I hung up on a few people. But if you're listening, please call back because I was trying to connect and I'm like, uh-oh. We had a little bit of a login issue. So
yes,
this is my first time kind of manning the phone, so to speak. So please be patient with me, but I think I got the hang of it now. But I saw a few people that I X'd out by accident. There was no time moving, so I was like, okay. Anyway, so I'm just glad to be back. I know we took a couple of weeks off. You had some things going on, and so did I. And, I'm just really glad to be back and doing the show.
Yeah, me too. It seems like it's been like 2 months. It's only been a few weeks, but it's good to be back. So
heck yeah.
Heck yeah, Drew.
Trying not to curse. Now, so I guess, you know, so what Kim and I do is basically we come up with a few topics or we switch. Last time Kim came up with a topic. This time what I wanted to bring up as a topic was specifically like what the why behind the mediumship, like why was mediumship born or what your thoughts are on, you know, the purpose of mediumship coming around in the last 150 years or so, specifically since the late 1850s, from early spiritualism. What are your thoughts on that, on, you know, the why behind mediumship?
The why behind mediumship. I believe, you go back in history, you know, if you go back 2000 years ago, you know, we had the greatest psychic medium of all time, healer Jesus Christ. That's my own belief. And I think maybe it just, I think we always had this. It's always been since the beginning of time. But I think throughout the centuries or whatnot, I think it just got thrown underneath the table. We forgot what our natural abilities were. We forgot that we were spiritual beings. And I think probably in the 1800s, we woke up to that fact. 1700s by Emanuel Swedenborg, and then I think probably in the 1800s by the Poughkeepsie Seer. What is his name, Drew? Help me out here. Andrew Jackson Davis.
Andrew Jackson Davis. Yep.
Right. And I think, you know, with the Fox sisters, too, it kind of catapulted it, you know. And if people don't know who the Fox sisters were, they were two little girls from upstate New York. And they were communicating with spirit through rappings. Now, as the story goes, you know, it was supposed to be, they said it was a hoax. But then some people say it wasn't a hoax. I have no idea. But the bottom line is it helped, again, catapult mediumship and awakening our senses to our natural abilities, you know, that we are of spirit. And, you know, then we had great people like Andrew Jackson Davis that kind of, you know, help carry that through as well. And I think with that, you know, then they went over to England, you know, where I believe, and I might be wrong, it's just my own belief system, they perfected it. You know, that's what I believe, you know, that, you, as you know, I again, my own belief system, that it's a different elevation of mediumship over there. It just is. You know, I mean, it's evidence, you know, and it has to be clear cut, you know, and there's no fooling around, you know, that kind of thing. But I think the reason behind it all is because of the need, you know, as we go on, you know, throughout the ages and the technology and we get busy with our lives, you know, and we get busy, and we forget our true nature, who we are. And then, you know, with our grief and everything else that goes on, you know, we forget that we can go back to our natural being. We can connect with our own spirits. We can connect with people that have passed over. And I think nowadays, you know, we have awoken to that fact that there are mediums out there that can connect, you know, and that can help us, you know. And I don't know. What do you think, Drew?
No, I think it's really well said. I think you covered a lot of bases, and I think, you know, it does go back. I think the first forms of mediumship were prophecy, and I think there were a lot of prophets mm-hmm. that led the way for a lot of different tribes or people. That what goes back all the way to indigenous tribes of the old, where it's like old shamanism, not North American mm-hmm. shamanism, just like the roots of the inner and outer spirit kind of thing. And I really truly believe that. It came, I believe that there's a, almost like a consciousness that's, a divine consciousness that envelops the earth. And I do believe that there's certain waves or periods of time where we go through certain patterns where it pushes us as a whole, I'm talking. And I think that it definitely manifested itself in a way of prophecy to kind of make the mountain steeper, or not to climb harder, but almost to elevate us as humanity. Whether people look at it as Moses or Jesus or going all the way back, or all the unknowns, Daniel in the Bible, you know, there's just so many seers and prophets and clairvoyants. And then eventually, or maybe since the very beginning too, the healing. I believe that healing is the purest form of mediumship because it is uninterpreted. It's that energy, but uninterpreted without human interaction, other than being, you know, just a quiet channel to allow. So I think that it's more prevalent probably in the last 150, 200 years because we document it more without the intervention of people that want to hide it. And I do believe that's why it is marked as, you know, early on as people saying, stay away from that. Because it took power and control away from, you know, kings and people that were in power and gave it to the Almighty or to spirit. And I think that, you know, people wanted to suppress that. So the why on the whole, I think, is to push us as humanity. And you mentioned Andrew Jackson Davis. And to me, you know, I think the beauty of, of just spirituality in itself, never mind with the various aspects of mediumship, psychic, intuition, clairvoyance, trance states, physical mediumship, you know, I don't know if I said healing, all those kinds mm-hmm. of things. Andrew Jackson Davis, one of the things he said, like when you had mentioned evidence, was that the importance of evidence from the afterlife was to give us pure and simple hope that this life is worth living. It wasn't so that you can have a conversation with your lost loved one every week and go, you know, do you like my shoes? It was specifically just to give enough evidence so that people go, oh my God, you couldn't have known that. So there must be something there. And then whatever they do with it is up to them, but hopefully they go on some sort of inward journey and evolve from the inside out, or at least start looking in the spiritual direction. That's what I believe. And I believe that that's the purpose of it. So even though, like, my education is primarily in England, like you talked about, I do believe that it's also spun off again. So there's these people that want you to get more and more and more and more evidence. But I've seen some incredible evidence, and I've also seen the personality evidenced right out of the communication. So I think that it has to have a balance of an emotional connection and a feeling of a presence in addition to evidence. Because facts on a piece of paper can be feel very dry and cold, and then there can be an argument that how do you know you're not picking it up psychically? So I think feeling the presence of the personality is also really important. And I know I work in a healing capacity quite a bit, and I think my perception keeps changing based on that. Because, you know, if I go back to just recently, some of the people having personal mediumistic experiences or communication from spirit from their loved ones while on a healing table, there's nothing better. There's no reason to have a medium when they could have their own experience. And one woman specifically said so beautifully, she was like, it was amazing. My mom was right here, and all I did was get the feeling, or it was almost like the idea of all this stuff was impressed upon her energetically, and all of a sudden she just understood. So that word, I think, to me is key. I feel like mediumship is here so that we can have a deeper understanding. It doesn't mean so that we can understand everything. It just means that we can get a glimmer of that vastness and just go, you know what, there's so much more to this. I'm just going to you know, at least live my life like it has a purpose and that there is some sort of afterlife and give me some hope. So I think the why, I think, changes if you look at it as an overview over the couple of thousand years to now. But I really feel like in the last 100 or 200 years, specifically in the last 20, from Anderson to what's Anderson's first name? I always forget. The guy at a long
George
Island.
Anderson?
George Anderson. George Anderson, James Van Praagh, John Edward were pretty much, in my opinion, the pioneers of bringing it mainstream, particularly John Edward. I think Anderson and Van Praagh pretty much broke the ice and had a very difficult job doing it, I got to say, like at that time.
Right.
And John Edward brought it, and he kept to the evidence, and I like that. He always said, I don't like people getting too close. I don't want to feel like someone's coming into me. I just want to be able to give you what you need. I don't even need to know what it means. I just want to give you something that makes you walk away with some hope. And I think him sticking to that, I love that. And I think and then you have Long Island Medium. Now, my only fear is that if mediumship starts continuing on the path that it's continuing as far as the mainstream is concerned, I just feel like it has more entertainment value. But if it reaches more people and more people accept it as a little bit of a norm, like look at that normal person who loves her nails and her hair and oh my God and all that kind of stuff, loves that stuff, but she's a fine medium. Even though there's entertainment value just in the personality, that's okay. But I do see a lot of people that come up and it's like, I just feel like it needs, the purpose of mediumship has to be to help another or to heal another or both. It can't be just because I can get all this great. It can't be more on the medium. Like even with healers, like if I'm a healer, the natural inclination to want to heal or help someone has to be there on an innate level. It can't be that I want to be looked at as someone who healed that. You know what I mean? So I think mediumship, if we get overdeveloped, tends to focus so much on what can I get as opposed to how can I serve in order to give this person what they need. So right. I definitely think there's a huge need there. I think mediumship's a beautiful thing, and I think a lot of the good stuff gets swept under the dust because we naturally want the fantastical. And I think its simplest form, mediumship and healing, to me, are the most beautiful, because if you look at, I just feel like we can overcomplicate anything. And I think that, yes, it's good to develop and this and that, but it can also get in the way because we constantly are thinking it's not good enough, or I need to get this, I need to get that, where sometimes some of the simplest couple of bits of information that come through make the most profound impact on someone. So, I think there's a huge purpose there, and I think it does go back for many, many – and, some people argue that, well, maybe a couple hundred years in the future we'll all be walking around much more telepathically or much more intuitively, and I hope so, because I think with this age of technology and in big industry in the last 100 years specifically, I think we need to be able to stay grounded spirituality as humanity. Otherwise, we will, I don't know. It would be scary to see if we became too robotic and too materialistic. So that's my take.
Whoa. Well, where do I go from here?
I mean, if you look at today, I just feel like between TV, never mind the commercials that are blaring. I mean, if you go to England or Europe in general, when I came home, the couple times I came home, I remember immediately I would be so annoyed at commercials because every one was like a pharmaceutical commercial. Do you have restless leg syndrome? It was like nobody's really looking at, instead of taking, it's nice to have all this medicine, but it needs to be utilized in conjunction or in cooperation with something that's spiritually based, and like a holistic approach. And I think we keep forgetting that, and it's scary because education systems are completely going for, either the money or move up the ladder, stay inside the box. And I think we need more people thinking outside the box and being innovators instead of imitators. I really do. I think people need to kind of hopefully watch what other people do and maybe do the opposite and see if it works for them.
Well, if you notice, I mean, even down here when I'm in North Carolina, there are a lot of light workers down here, a lot of healers down here, I should say, a lot of healers. So I feel that, people are looking at the holistic approach to healing, parallel to, Western medicine, which is great, So I would never tell anybody, dis Western medicine, because, I used to do Reiki too. I still do it every now and then if somebody comes to me. And I tell them, do what your doctor tells you to do. This is just a compliment, but it's good because I had a woman come to me when I was in New Jersey, and she was going through chemo, and I would do healings on her. And I believe at that particular time now, her name was Jeanette, and she did pass. But I believe at that particular time it helped her connect with her spirituality. When I was doing the healing, she could feel the energy. And I believe that she felt, I don't want to say more at peace, but I think she did. I felt, felt more at peace with her transition. So I do believe that healings are very, 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 very important. So that's all I got about that, Drew. So
I think with healings in particular, I think it was a natural progression for me because I would be working with somebody mediumistically, like I would be talking to, spirits or spirit communication. And then all of a sudden I would see, like, my hands would get hot and I would see this energy on the top of their shoulders, and I'd want to step behind them and put my hands on their shoulders or their head. And excuse me. And I think the word healing can be very deceptive in today's day and age because it's not a cure necessarily.
Right.
I think that in some instances I've had really good, or I can't say I have, but I've been part of very successful healing work from migraines to spines to nerve damage to people going through chemo, things like that. And I think I feel like, I don't know, it's a very, I guess, I guess, gray area, the term healing, because I think people like don't understand it. And I don't want to say spiritual healing to too many people. I think because Reiki, the word Reiki means spiritual healing energy. So it's the same thing. It's just that it's, you know, it's just got a different tradition behind it. So I think, I just think people tend to like, okay, it's not faith healing. It's not you walk in, I put my hand on your head, and you fall backwards, and you're healed in the name of something else. It's a process. And I think, like, you're right. Like, to me, healing happens on a very subtle level in a lot of ways. It's the same thing with mediumship, regular, like, mental mediumship. When I'm communicating with a with somebody, they may walk out of there feeling like they have hope, but it may affect their lives in so many other ways because now they might appreciate people around them that they didn't before. Or, you know, just simple things. And that healing, to me, that's something that it does. It can give someone comfort. It can ease pain. It can make them relaxed. It can take away anxiety. Just the fact that they're taking a cooperative action to hopefully get better in some aspect. And I think if the expectations aren't like, well, I come in once, I walk away, and all should be good. I think sometimes it is a process for people, like especially grieving people. I tend to have people that come in after a session, and they'll come in and they won't really know what to expect, but they'll feel really drawn to it, or it'll just kind of happen. And then they'll start having these emotional experiences. So healing can be very emotional. Again, I think the progression and the evolution of mediumship is really an interesting phenomenon, because if you look at it like from what it started way back in the day to what it is now, like you said, the art of trying to perfect it, I think is it's amazing that we can even try to put our finger on the pulse of it, because it's just such an incredible thing, you know?
Well, our mediumship always changes with us as well, you know. So, I mean, our mediumship as an individual, it always evolves. It evolves, you know. So my mediumship, what it was 2 years ago, is not the same as it is today. And in 2 years' time, it won't be the same as it is today, you know. It will just evolve and it changes, you know. The way we perceive our information, you know, it changes. Sometimes I'm very clairaudient. Sometimes I'm very clairvoyant. I'm always claircognizant, so that I can always kind of count on that one, you know. And that's a hard one, too. So, but you said something really important before, and you were talking about the TV mediums. And, you know, I believe it's really, really great that people have an awareness now of mediumship. You know, they can see, like you said, a regular Long Island housewife, you know, just a regular person, and, you know, gets her nails and her hair done, and she just happens to be a medium. I think that's great. And there's other people, too. But what I noticed in the mediumship community is that a lot of people are trying to strive to be that, and that's dangerous, you know, as far as I'm, because, you know, we forget why we're there. We forget, you know, it's really about, you know, the sitter. It's really about the recipient. It's really about the grieving process, or it's about just wanting to hear, you know, from mom, even if she's been gone for 20 years, you know, just knowing that she is there. And people get a different, people that watch these shows, they think it's just like that. They think that, you know, when they come in front of me, you, or, you know, Joe Schmo medium, that it's just going to be boom, yep, got it, okay, yep, oop, yep, boom, boom, boom. And it's not that way, you know. So I think, in a sense, I think 85% of it, it's fantastic that people know it's around, but there's that 15% where I feel that, you know, it gives people a different, they don't understand how it works. I wish there was a TV show out there that would show exactly how it works. You know, I wish somebody would film one of the mediums that don't do too well that day, you know, to understand how we have to kind of understand maybe our symbols or references, how spirit uses our references to get across a message. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think it's you know, it's interesting. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
It's one of those things that I think it's like playing golf, and I don't golf. But it's funny because, you know, for like a week, I kept asking Spirit something because I kept asking this one question. And I kept seeing a golf club swinging. And it didn't register until just after I did a group last Sunday. And it definitely is as natural as a medium can be as far as the attunement or the connection to Spirit. The delivery and the way with and the means with which that delivery comes is always different. Like I can get a symbol three times in a row and it'll be the same thing. The fourth time I'll say the same thing for that particular symbol and it means something completely different. So it's like you have to learn to feel into it. So it is difficult. And I think you're right. I believe that the expectations, everybody's different. Every medium's different and also every recipient's different. And I think sometimes people who I've had one of those extraordinary readings with will refer people to me and they're waiting for their extraordinary reading. And they want to get the same information the same way, you know, et cetera. And it just doesn't happen like that. You know, I think it's a day-to-day thing. And I always questioned that, I think. Why can't it be, give me your name, give me your shoe size, how tall were you, what did you show me what you looked like, you know, what was your relationship to this person, what was the last thing you said? Like, you can get some of that, but a lot of times I always say it's like picking up a phone and listening. It's not always a two-way thing. Now, I can kind of set my intention in my mind and create a pathway for communication over time where I'm used to getting, like, sometimes I'll get months or I'll get a day of the week and I know they passed on that day of the week. Like, it's just unusual stuff that I wouldn't have normally looked for, but I started getting. So now it comes easier. So I feel like it's important that people understand that it's edited TV. And, you know, and also I don't necessarily agree that I should walk in and go get a roast beef sandwich and then be like, oh, by the way, your mom says she likes the way you cut that roast beef. You know, it's like, I think it needs to be in a sacred space. And I'd prefer it not to be so much as entertainment as it would be as healing or as, you know, a profound experience. Like when I get someone who's like rude or loud, or I feel their energy is off, it can really throw off the group. And I don't think people are aware of that. I think people think that it's like, well, if you're there, then they're not leaning over in physical body. They're sending us their energetic impressions, however best that medium can receive them. And, you know, and then on the other side of that is if one communicator comes through and is very, very crisp and clear, and then someone else doesn't come through so crisp and clear, are they okay? Are they not in a safe space and all that stuff? It has nothing to do with that. Like I always say, it's like playing charades underwater sometimes. And I think, you know, if, like, I think me and you had talked about this a while ago. Like, if I knew in my first couple of years that I wouldn't know everything about the person and everything about the person sitting in front of me, that I would just get enough so that it would touch the needs of that person and sometimes the wants. I don't know that I could have never wrapped my head around that. So it's hard to remember what it's like to not know how it works. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, but it's, and I don't like making excuses where it's like, well, you know, it's not that easy. Well, Drew, maybe you just suck. You know, I mean, I think the reality is that it is a place of attunement and it has to be perfected over a period of time. And also I notice that certain types of personalities can come through certain mediums easier. So, you know, there's a lot to it. And I think the fundamental process, if I don't know that your mother passed and I said your mom is here with you, in basic broad terms, that should be enough for you to know that there's something more. And I'm not saying that should be the end of a reading. I'm just saying people are waiting for, well, ask them if they saw what I did last night at 2:33 a.m. It's like it's not that simple all the time. They're going to get, you know, can you just sit back and relax? They're not alive. They're alive, but they're not in physical form. So they're going to have a higher understanding of maybe what to touch upon. So let them run the show. And I think people have a hard time doing that.
Exactly.
You know, I really do. I think people want to have a conversation like you and me are having, and they just don't understand it.
Yeah. You know, also, I don't know why I got thrown to another area, but, you know, you're talking about what people expect and whatnot and how certain energies can throw things off. I had an experience in a den, you know, with a group of 30 people. And that's another thing, you know. When you go into a situation like this, you need to be, people need to be open-hearted and understand and be respectful of what's going on. And it's not only, you know, the energy of the room can throw everything off, even if it doesn't have anything to do with the mediums. It could be other participants in the demonstration, the audience members, because I know there was a woman that was playing with her cell phone, and, you know, and the lights were going on, and she wasn't paying attention. Now, I didn't see any of that because I was busy working, you know, but somebody else mentioned it, and it threw that person off, you know, not a medium, just a regular audience member who was just kind of really upset about the whole thing. This woman is sitting there in a, you know, supposed to be a sacred space, and she's playing with her cell phone. So that in itself can throw the energy off in the room as a whole, because now it's kind of contagious, you know, that person gets a little upset, and then maybe the other person, you know, next to them gets a little upset, and then your energy tends to kind of plummet. You know, so it may have nothing to do with the mediums. They're fine. They're up there. They're doing their thing, you know. So I just ask people that are going to a dem to be respectful of the work that's going on, you know, because that will
affect. And the process. I think
the process,
people get really impatient with the process because, I mean, not only in American life are we, tuned into everything happening yesterday and now, and I want what I pay for and I want it the way I want it. But I think with all the TV and the quick edits and all that kind of stuff, not every moment is a aha moment. You know, I mean, there's work. I mean, as a medium, some readings I really have to work with the communicator to understand. Other readings, I can't stop the information from coming through. I don't know why that is. And I think anyone who tries to pretend they do, I think we can do our best to assert what we think it is. And maybe sometimes we get close to what that is, but I just feel like, you know, it's not supposed to be a perfect science. I believe that it's supposed to be not a fuzzy science, but it's not supposed to be perfect except once in a while, because we're always supposed to be in the progression of perfecting it. And I think if for some reason you had a bunch of mediums that come up and it's like if I was a skeptic, my first, well, if you could talk to them, ask them what I'm thinking right now. Give me a code word, that kind of stuff. And I think I get it, but at the same time, I think they're missing the point, you know, and that always frustrates me. I think because, you know, I think there has to be room for people to do their own work. Like if you could have people walking around and just give you all this information, that would be a scary place to live, I think. You know, I think it would be a little unusual, and it would also give an individual, like a medium, way too much power. And that's why sometimes people get freaked out when they're around me. They're like, God, you're reading my mind and that kind of thing. That always makes me chuckle. I'm like, really? First of all, I don't want to. I have enough stuff going through my own mind. you know, and second of all, like, I really think that I'm not saying that all mediums take the moral high ground, but for the most part, if you're working with spirit, for the most part, the boundaries are set by spirit on how far you can go based upon your moral and your moral aptitude and your ethics. I truly believe that. It doesn't make someone a worse medium if they're not a nice person, but I think in the process and the progression of mediumship, I think we have to learn. We have quite a bit to learn before we can get to the point where some previous mediums have gotten. I truly believe that, because if I could give somebody everything, then what's the point of them wanting to live this life? If they know that the next world is so fantastic and is so beautiful, and that the repercussions aren't heaven and hell, that it's just levels of existence and learning, and it's a superior state of spirit than it is the physical. You know, I mean, you don't know. I mean, who knows what kind of effect it would have? And I think there has to be room for some sort of faith. It doesn't have to be faith in a religion, but it has to be faith in some sort of divine higher presence that we are only privy to very small snippets, so that we can put one foot in front of the other. And as an intuitive, I get people all the time that'll say, that's why I hate the word psychic, even though I use it. I get people that will be like, well, what's going to happen for you? Can't you tell? And not even saying it sarcastically, but they really believe that I know what's like, at what time is my phone going to ring? Like, yeah, I'll get an inclination. Like yesterday when you called, I had just walked by my phone and I was like, oh, maybe I should give Kim a call. You know, it was weird. And then I turned around and you had left a voicemail. That kind of stuff happens, but I'm always a little bit behind the curve when it happens for me. It's like just enough for spirit to let me know that, hey, you know, this is still happening for you. But I don't think it would be healthy if I could find out everything about me. It would be weird to live in a world where I knew exactly what was going to happen next for me.
Well, you know, I think one of the reasons is we can't be objective. You know, people say, can't you read yourself? I'm like, no, because I cannot be objective. You know, I want everything to be great and grand and have my own business with the cutest little office in the world. And I want that, you know, so I can't be objective about that. That's why I go
That's
to
true.
You for readings.
Maybe
you know, and people will say, well, you know, the biggest question, you probably heard it. Every medium psychic has heard it. How come you can't tell what the lottery numbers are? Or if I'm at the racetrack, how come you don't know what horse is coming in? Because I'm betting and I can't be objective.
That's the same with me with football. I love football, and people will be like, well, who's got – every time I try to get it, I will get the opposite team. And then when I tried to flip it, like I got the opposite team, so I'm like, oh, let's go with the other one. It was wrong. It's so funny. I just can't get it. And I think it's a healthy thing not to be able to.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I don't think we're meant to know everything, you know? So – like you
That's
said.
For sure. Well, look, we have some okay. We have a good list of callers here.
Okay.
Before doing that, I wanted to see if I just wanted to share a couple of events I have coming up.
Okay.
One is November 1st in Saratoga Springs. I have a guided meditation coming up at 11:30 a.m. this Sunday. And then I have November 29th. I'm doing a group demonstration of mediumship. There's still some seats left. It's a small, intimate group in, again, in Saratoga Springs, New York. And what else? December 5th, I'm doing a workshop on as a psychic medium. So it's for some intuition as well as some mediumistic stuff. We're going to go over the basics. It's a level one class. That's December 5th in Saratoga. 12/12, my birthday, September 12th. I'm doing a mediumship level one workshop in Pearl River, New York, which is down by northern New Jersey. And then I think that's it for this year, but I just wanted to put that out there. And you can find everything again. You can find Kim at Kim Griffin. I just messed it up. Kim Griffin, I almost said evidential medium. www.kimgriffinmedium.com or facebook.com/ Kim Griffin Evidential Medium. You can find me at drewcali.com. It's drewcali.com or facebook.com/ psychic medium Drew Cali. All right. So look, Kim, do you have anything else that you wanted to share before we get into calls?
Yeah, just real quick. This Saturday, if you're in the Wilmington area, I'll be at Nana Baca Winery. That's Halloween. So I will be there with a tarot card reader, Lori Gifford. So we will be there from 6:30 till God knows when. And and also, I have a meetup group. I've had an ongoing meetup group. It's called Spirit Development Circle. And again, I'm located near Wilmington. So anyhow, I'm starting meditation groups, and that would be starting November 3rd, every other Tuesday. And that's all I have.
Beautiful. Okay, so.
That's it.
People, please be patient with me with the phones. I think I just have to click on the microphone, correct? So
correct.
We have a 970 caller who's been on hold quite a while. I'm going to see if I can find her name in the chat room. I believe it is Patty. So I'm going to click on this now. Let's see. Patty?
Yes, hi.
Hey, how are you? This is Drew and Kim.
I'm good,
hi, Patty.
Thanks. Yeah, I would love to hear any messages from Spirit, if possible.
Sure. Kim, do you want to take this?
I will try.
Sure.
I will try. Okay. Give me a second, Patty, to connect with you. And already I am understanding a male coming through for you. I feel like this is a generation up from you as well. I'm also understanding there is an uncle that has passed over as well. I feel this is connected to father's side of the family as well. Okay, so I'm also understanding uncle had passed recently. When I say recently, I want to say within a year or so. Would you understand any of that information?
Well, he actually passed over several years ago, 2003, actually.
Okay. I'm understanding something happened within a year within the family. Would you understand that? So I'm not saying any passings or anything, but it just seems like there's a lot of events going on within the family is what he's trying to convey to me. And so you would understand this?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm understanding there actually there's a lot of happy events is what I want to say
yes.
within the family. So I'm feeling a couple births and I'm feeling a wedding and that kind of thing. That's what I'm feeling. But I'm also feeling like this gentleman that is coming through, he feels like he was very full of life. I want to say that he lived life to its fullest. You would understand this, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
So, okay, yeah. he just seems like he also kind of walked to a beat of a different drummer. So
I
think he did things his way is what I want to say. So when I say that he lived life to the fullest, he lived it the way he wanted to live it, and there was no apologies whether or not it was. Seem to offend, I don't want to say offensive, but, you know, I'm feeling that what he is telling me is there was a certain decorum within the family, certain traditions that were handed down within the family, and uncle seemed to go, you know what, I'm walking my own path and doing my own thing. You may not like it, but that's what I'm doing. So that's what I'm feeling about him. He feels like he's kind of quiet in a sense, but yet he feels a little outspoken as well. So it feels like when he spoke, people listened. And sometimes it was kind of different. That's all I'll say is different as well. I'm also understanding there was a leg injury as well, as I feel also there's a military connection with him as well. He's showing me a ship, so I'm feeling like there is a destroyer or something about a destroyer. So I'm not sure if he was in the Navy, but he's talking to me about a connection to the Navy and a destroyer. Would you understand that?
I do know that he was in the military, yes. I don't know exactly what it was, but he was... Yeah, there was a picture of him in uniform, and he was in the military in some capacity. Yeah.
Okay, but he's also telling me that there's a connection within the family to Norfolk, Virginia. Would you understand that? So I'm understanding there's a Navy connection within the family. Maybe not him, but somebody else within the family.
I'll have to look it up.
Okay. So he he is here to tell you that it's okay to walk outside of the box. It's okay to color outside the lines, you know, figuratively speaking. He's making me feel there's different aspects that you want to get into. And maybe you're a little fearful of what people are going to think. So he's here to tell you that, you know, take him for an example. You know, whether it was good, bad, or indifferent, you know, he led his life and he was happy about it. You know, there's some things also he's making me feel there was a bit of depression with him as well. Would you understand that?
Yes, I think it runs in the family.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's why I felt so connected to him is that we both were different.
Okay, because he's just making me...
I really had a very strong connection with him.
Okay. And is there something about a walker or a cane with him?
I think he used a cane in his later years, possibly.
Okay.
Never a walker. He didn't get
I'm just getting a walking apparatus is what I want to say. So, and he wears a baseball cap. So I'm feeling like there's a cap or maybe not a baseball cap, but a cap. Would you understand that?
Probably not baseball, but yeah, he used to wear hats.
There's a cap. Leave it as a cap. but that's really all I have, so I don't want to, you know, take up too much time. So, Drew?
Well, it was really good to hear from him because I
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Yeah, Patty, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Absolutely.
Patty.
Absolutely. Have a good night. Thank you.
You too. Take care.
Okay, so our next caller is, I can't see the name, and guys, again, just be patient with me because this is my first time doing the dashboard, but I have a 727 number. The last four digits are 7415. Again, it's a 727 number.
Hello?
Hello, caller?
Hi.
Hey, this is Drew and Kim with Speaking Spirit. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. What's your first name?
Lisa.
Lisa, okay, perfect. So, Lisa, who are you looking to connect with?
Well, just, you know, like a message from my family.
Okay. So let me go on this one, Kim. So,
okay.
Lisa, just give me 1 second to connect, okay? I just want to make sure that I'm connecting with you. You understand Mom is in spirit, is that correct?
No, my mom, she's still on the earth.
Okay, I have a mother figure here, so I just want to make sure that I'm connecting with you. I don't know if this is an aunt, but this is definitely connected to Mom, okay? So I don't know if this is an aunt, but I need to go to the late 40s with this woman. She definitely smoked. And if I'm off on the relationship, just forgive me, but I feel very motherly with her coming through for you, and I need to go to like the late 40s. I wouldn't even go into the 50s, maybe 50 being the max, but I need to talk about her smoking and her ill condition before she passed. Do you understand this?
I didn't know her.
I'm sorry, so you can't understand it?
Well, no, because I was born. She died before I was born.
So this is your aunt?
Could be my grandmother.
Okay, so let me just, but okay, so you understand that she died young?
Yeah.
Okay. And do you understand that it was like an illness or a condition? And she keeps making me aware of the smoking, so I want to say that it has something to do with cancer. Do you understand that?
I don't know how she died. I'm sorry.
Okay, so I even though you don't know her, which is, it's highly unusual, but if they're in this generation that I'm getting, I just feel like it's very important that she, now there's two kids. Do you understand that you're one of two or your mom is one of two?
I'm one of two.
Okay, perfect. So I just feel like she's trying to validate that it's her and she's coming through. So just, and I keep getting the initial M. So I don't know if she's trying to say that she's on her mother's side or if the initial M is in there. Do you understand that? And also the K. So I just keep getting that.
Mm.
And do you understand there's an Irish connection?
I think so. I think my mother has that in her.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So, again, and also I definitely have a taller gentleman coming through here, and I want to say it's Mom's dad.
Okay.
Do you understand that? But I need to go to the height with this guy.
I'm so sorry because I didn't really know them, and I don't know how tall he was.
Okay, that's okay. That's okay. I just need to acknowledge it. I just feel like he's connected. It's your, but your, so your grandfather on your mom's side is definitely in spirit, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And it's interesting because I'm also getting, like Kim was getting something in the previous reading. I'm definitely getting like a merchant marine or a Navy connection with him. And do you understand that there's alcoholism that runs in the family, correct?
Yes, my mother's an alcoholic. Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect. I don't mean it like that, but I'm just saying that that's a confirmation for me because I feel like grandfather, it's almost like he's showing me the downline, and he's showing me, and there's a huge amount of pride here because you've had a lot to overcome. Now, do you do that? Who's the person that sews, like sewing machine sews?
You know what? That was my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And my mother had like a real interest. My mother has an interest in sewing.
Yeah, but she's more creative than she was like doing it the way that with the sewing machine, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I feel like Mom has like a thrifty vibe to her, but Grandma was like old school, like she just keeps showing me the Singer sewing machine. She keeps showing me that. Right?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. And also, So I need to say you wanted some sort of message from your family. So I feel like, just understand, I feel like it's important that it registers with you that you come from quite a bit of strength, quite a bit of work, and that everybody has their problems and each generation is supposed to overcome them. And I feel like they're very proud of you, but I feel like you're going through a turning point. Why is the month of May so important around you?
I don't know.
I keep getting May with a big circle around it, so I don't know why that's the month of change or month of significance. So just remember I said that, and sometimes I can't tell if it's future or past, but if you're unaware of something that happens, no, this was like 2 to 5 years ago. I need to talk about May. Why is May so important?
Oh, my gosh, I don't know.
All right, so remember I said that because this is definitely in the past.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I don't want to keep – I just need to know – I need you to know that it's really, really important that you have – you understand that you have this – I'm going to try to be really quick because we have a couple of callers still. You understand that you tend to put other people first instead of yourself, and you get burned quite a bit, correct?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So I just feel like it's really, really important that you're on the right path, and that you need to verbalize some of this stuff, because I feel like the tendency is, it's like you put someone up on a pedestal, and then a pedestal gets, then you as soon as they're not up on that pedestal anymore, you actually like look at them like, what the hell was I thinking? Do you understand this?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a self-induced issue, and I keep feeling like you make everyone else's stuff so much more important and so much more valuable than your own, that it's like when you look at it, they're trying to show me, like, remember who you are, stand in your own power, and don't allow people to influence you so much. Allow your heart to influence you, because you're right where you're supposed to be. I feel like just keep putting one foot in front of the other. You're definitely on the right path. Spirituality is probably the home for you. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
And it's just really important that you continue your seeking, all right? And there's just a lot of love and a lot of pride here. And I just keep wanting to, like, I want to hug you and, like, grant. I just keep, it's like they keep showing me that they didn't miss anything. And you need to know that you're very looked after. You're very looked after. And she keeps saying, angels do exist. Angels do exist. Angels do exist. So I just feel like it's a confirmation for you to just trust and surrender to the process of change, because change is coming.
Really? Do you know when the change is coming?
We have to get one more caller in. We only have 7 minutes left. So I would love to continue with you. I just wanted to give you as much validation as possible. All I'm getting is that you just need to kind of keep putting one foot in front of the other. The rest will be revealed to you, but you're on the right track.
Okay.
All right? And I wish you the best of luck, and thank you so much for calling.
Thanks. That was
Thank
cool
you.
With the sewing machine. That was very cool.
Good. Thank
yeah.
you.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
All right. So, real quick, I'm picking up 954. The last four digits are 6809. The first four digits to Florida number 954, 6809. And the last four digits. Are you there?
Yes, I am. My name is Mary, and I would like to connect with my mother or my aunt.
Okay, Mary. Kim?
Well, Mary, may I read for you?
Yes, you may.
Well, Mary, I know you want to hear from your mother or your aunt, but your father's coming through. Your father has passed?
Yes.
I will. Well, since we have, I'm bringing father through. And then maybe Drew can connect with mom or grandma or aunt. But I have a gentleman here. He has a prominent nose. He has a very wide nose. Would you recognize this as being your father?
I wouldn't say his nose is very wide.
Okay, but I'm understanding that he has a very big personality. So
yeah,
I'm getting
a little more in line.
He was a little bit more in line, so maybe this isn't Dad. But I do have a male. I'm sorry.
That would describe him a little better, maybe personality wise.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'm getting here. I have a gentleman here, And I'm not saying it's dad, but just listen to the description and maybe it will fit with somebody else. Because I have a gentleman here that likes the ponies. Okay, so he likes the horses, or he likes to bet on certain things. So it could be the dogs. You know, I know you're in Florida, but I'm hearing somebody, and he was older when he had passed. So I feel like he reached his 80s when he had passed. He feels like he mismatched a lot of his dress. So you would understand that he would wear plaid with stripes. That kind of thing, but he always liked to wear a tie. He has a prominent nose. He wears black rimmed glasses at times.
Not relating to what you just described at all. No, not the ponies, not the nose or the clothes. I'm sorry.
So it wouldn't relate to anybody that you know?
No, mm-mm. No, I can't place that at all. I'm sorry. No one fits that description.
Okay, so all right, that's fine. I believe I am connected to you, but that's okay. But so, Drew, would you like to connect with
sure.
Can
you, what was your name again? What was your name again?
Mary.
Mary. Okay. Now you understand that there's either uncle or dad that's like a Jack.
I had an Uncle John, but they didn't call him Jack.
Okay, but his name was Jack, but they called him John?
No, his name was John.
Oh, no, okay. So let me just go with this. Because I keep picking up this mail, and I wanted to say uncle, but it's weird because like Kim was saying, like I still feel like it's dad energy, so I don't know why. I definitely get outdoorsman with this guy. Do you understand that with Uncle John?
Yeah, he was outdoors. Yeah.
Okay. And you understand that there was some sort of heart attack or heart issue with him?
I believe that's what he passed from. I can't say.
Okay. So just know that I just feel like, because we only have like literally like a minute left, just know that I feel like they are trying to come through very quickly. Now, I'm also aware of somebody's younger sibling passing. Is that you?
No, I don't have any siblings.
Okay, I have it. Well, I don't know if somebody lost someone, but I need to talk about the younger female that passed.
There was a young female in the family who passed young.
Okay. Okay. And just understand that I feel like you need to know that the family is together and that everything that I just feel like there's just a big moment of joy here. I hate rushing this quickly, but we really have to go. But just know that the family is together and they're okay and that they're more concerned about you being okay. So I just feel like I feel like you have a hell of a sense of humor. Do you understand that?
Yes.
And I feel like it's really important that you maintain that, but you also maintain the spiritual side of things, the sanctity in things or the sacredness of things. But it's like I just keep on laughing, girl. That's what I keep getting. All right.
I get that message. Oh yeah.
Okay. Perfect. And look, again, I don't mean to cut you off, but we literally have like 2 minutes to close out the show. So thank you so much for calling.
Late, so I'll try another night. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
All right. So I just wanted to thank Kim and thank all the callers and everybody who's listening. We really appreciate it. I mean, for Kim and I to have a platform like this to work, and we did go a little long on the conversation, but when the conversation's good, I think that's powerful and that's good because it's not all about readings. It's all about understanding.
Exactly.
So I
exactly.
just wanted to say thank you to everybody out there. And again, you know, we'll be back every Thursday at 9 Eastern Standard Time. Please call in again or come back and listen. And Kim, I'll leave it to you if you have anything to say.
I have nothing to say. I'm still kind of dumbfounded about the guy that set the racist with the black rimmed glasses. But anyhow, that's okay. It's still with me. Anyhow, no, I have nothing to say.
Yeah, well, this is the kind of show that makes me want to do an hour and a half. But then,
see?
You know, we'll have to talk about it. But callers and listeners, thank you so much for listening to Speaking Spirit. God bless. Have a great night.
Thank you. Night.